Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
You can believe God for much more. Deliverance is yours. Salvation is yours. Healing is yours. Healing is yours. God is able. God is able. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise Jesus. You can have your seats in God's presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you are happy to be in church this morning? It's so good to be in church. Hallelujah. We already discussed, we've said it several times, the concept of church. Church is the called out ones, those that are called out from the world. If you believe Jesus, you're part of the church. Amen. You're part of the church. When I mean church, I'm not literally talking about Love Dominion Assembly. I'm talking about church, the body of Christ. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, you have been engrafted, you've been baptized into the body by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, I'm born of the Spirit.
I'm born of the Spirit.
Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm anointed of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a new creation. Say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Say, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I am born of the Spirit. Say, I have the ministry of reconciliation. Say, I am born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we say statements like, there's always a replacement. For example, if you are not available, God can replace you. I say statements like that. You know, I used to say statements like that. And, you know, the thing is that statement, amen, is, in a way, it can be true. That if someone is not available, God can replace the person. Or better still, maybe not God, but there will be a replacement. There will be a replacement for someone who is not available. So, but what I'm trying to say is that God wants to do something, and if you don't show yourself available, we would conclude that God would raise another person to fill the gap. And if you read through the pages of the scripture, you would see, there are several impressions that also suggest that, especially in the Old Testament, that suggest that, there is always a spare part or replacement. For example, God told the prophet, when the prophet cried out that all the people had left God, God said he had lots of prophets that had not bowed their knees to the prophet of Baal. Okay, so so if we read the Old Testament, amen, it's clear that if you are not available, if someone is not available, God will find replacement. But I want to come from a different angle this morning. Amen. And the angle is this, that God desire that all of us be available. Amen. God desire that all of us be available. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus said the harvest is plenty. He said, but the laborers are few. Amen. He said it clearly. He said the laborers are few. So he even told the disciples to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. He said the harvest is plenty. Harvest is plenty, but laborers are few. What does that suggest to us? It suggests to us that every hand has to be on deck. Amen. It will suggest to me that nobody in the body of Christ should be useless. Hallelujah. Everybody is useful for the growth of the kingdom. Everybody. Because if I come with this approach that, hey, the harvest is plenty, but laborers are few, then it would mean that I should parley with God to find more laborers. So, in other words, I'm going to be looking laborers. I'm going to be searching for laborers or laborer in you, in people who don't even expect. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus found laborers. He found a laborer in a fisherman. Amen. Are we together here? He found a laborer in a fisherman. So the harvest indeed is plenteous, but laborers are few. He said, pray, I will send laborers into the harvest. So this is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to emphasize something here, that every one of us sitting under the sound of my voice are useful for the advancement of the kingdom. Every one of you. Everybody. Don't say, well, me, I'm not so much, grazed in these things. No, you are. You've got something. You've got some wonderful gift. You're blessed. God has blessed you richly. Say, I'm blessed. Amen. God has richly blessed you. Every one of you, everyone under the sound of my voice is useful for kingdom work. Everyone. But however, I'm going to be saying some things today, I believe it's going to, help us, and especially it's going to set many free, from even the condemnation of the devil. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, but God has a plan, and God's template of doing this is to train men. Hallelujah. God's template of doing, we said something, God wants to raise laborers, isn't it? So the way God goes about it is to train men. God, when I mean men, I'm not talking about the gender. To train us. So, in other words, we would see someone who had not received Jesus, receive Jesus now, and now the person is subject to training. By training, what do I mean? I'm talking about, for example, what we are doing this morning. Amen. When we come to church, fellowship, prayer meeting, being part of the church, you're going through training. Hallelujah. It's not some physical exercise, but it's a spiritual empowerment. And this happens all the time. So the way God is doing it is to train us. Look at Ephesians, okay? Ephesians and chapter 4. Praise God. Are you there? Ephesians and chapter 4, 11. He says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I'm not going there today, but I just want to do this. So he gave some, did you see that? So he said, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? Verse 12. For the what? Perfection of the saints. The word they're perfecting is maturing of the saints. For the maturing of the saints. Why? So that the saints will do what? The work of the ministry. Then when the saint is doing the work of the ministry, then what happens? The body is edified. Did you see that, Sherry? Did you see that? He says this. He says, he gave the apostles, I gave some apostles, pastors and teachers, and evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers. He said, for the maturing of the saints. So when the saint is matured, okay, they will be able to do the work of the ministry. Then when they are doing the work of the ministry, then the body is edified. So it would mean this, that we want all hands on deck. Hallelujah. We want all hands on deck. So if somebody, listen everybody. So it will mean this, that if somebody who is a saint is not doing the work of the ministry, it would mean that such person has not been matured or equipped to do the work of the ministry. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Amen. Is it too hard? Okay, so we're going somewhere. So the progression is simple. So there will be a training process in the body. So the training process is the saints are going to be equipped, matured, okay, or maturing to do the work of the ministry. And while they are doing that, the body is edified. Hallelujah. Praise God. So say this with me. Say, I'm going to be equipped. I'm going to be edified. I'm going to be empowered to do the work of the ministry so that the body will be edified. Yeah. That's what you do. So that's why we have, that's why we gather like this. So that's why we have church. So we have church because, okay, we're going to equip the saint so that when we equip the saint to do the work of the ministry. Most of the time, amen, the reason why people I don't get motivated to do the work of the ministry, most of the time, they don't even know. They don't have an idea how to go about it. They don't know about the gospel. Some of them, people don't know what the gospel is about. They don't know what who is the Holy Spirit. They don't. So, but when we come together, amen, and we talk about the Spirit, we get impartation, we are empowered, then we are stirred up to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Praise God. You are not talking about where you now become a pastor or evangelist or this. No. But you are doing the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Ministry of reconciliation. Look at it. 1 Corinthians. Amen. I'm going somewhere. 2 Corinthians. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Amen. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. Are you there? Verse 17. He said, therefore, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. He says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us. Now, are you following everybody? All things are of God who has reconciled us. It didn't say who will reconcile us. Say, I'm reconciled. So you're not going to be reconciled to God. God has reconciled us. Amen. God has reconciled you. God has reconciled all of us. So he said, all things are of God who has reconciled us. In fact, let me even tell you, that armed robber, that Boko Haram, that terrorist, that ISIS member, that unbeliever, that prostitute has been reconciled to God. He's not going to be reconciled. No prostitute or no sinner is going to be reconciled to God. They have been reconciled. How were we reconciled to God? Through the body of Jesus on the cross. So the reconciliation process has happened. If you look at it here, he says, look at it, verse 18. He said, and all things are of God. Who has, what? Reconciled us to himself. How? So it will mean that everyone on earth now has been reconciled. Okay, listen. So, the reconciliation process has happened in Christ Jesus. But what has happened to man? Those that have not believed Jesus, they have not received what? The reconciliation. But it has happened, but they have not received it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It has happened 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. Or approximately 2,000 years ago. He died. Jesus is not going to die again. See, when you meet somebody and you say, well, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. And the person, yes. Yes, I believe. Is it that time Jesus is dying for his sin? No. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not that time that Jesus is dying for his or her sin. Jesus died for his or her sin 2,000 years ago already. Died for the sin already. So it's not like you are trying to bring death. Jesus is not going to die right there. So what we are bringing to the person is the reconciliation, the accomplishment, what has been finished. Is what we are introducing. That's why I told us earlier, it is called good news. It is called news. Gospel means what? Good news. Gospel means what? So, if it is not a news is something that has happened. Breaking news. Breaking news. The Kuje prison has been attacked. It's a breaking news. Are you going to try to say, yeah? It's a news. News means what? It has happened. So that's what we are telling people. We are going about telling people the news. So that's why it's not stressful. It's not stressful because you are not doing anything. He has done everything. What you are going to be doing is also be telling what has happened. You know the same way you argued with your friend about Manchester United that Ronaldo has left or Ronaldo is there. Just, you are saying what has happened. Are you trying to say? You see the way you are saying it conveniently. Say, no, Rihanna is the best. No, Beyonce is the best. No, you are saying, no, it is this that collected World Cup. You are saying these things, we are not shy to say it. And then it's after where it is time to talk about the gospel. Say, I'm shy. You're not shy. You're actually not shy. You are just proud. Yes. That is it. No, to be honest, you're proud. You go there today. I'm serious. Say, wow, it has happened. The same way you conveniently tell somebody what has happened naturally, use the same thing. Jesus has died for your sins. That's why we see unbelievers, we say, do you know that Jesus has died for your sins? Or do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Really? Yes. So you can receive the forgiveness now. So what you are giving to people is to receive forgiveness. Telling them to receive forgiveness. And even if you are under the sound of my voice, yeah, and you have not received forgiveness, you have not believed the gospel, Jesus died for your sins. For our sins, for my sins, for everybody's sins. Amen. So look at it again. Let's keep reading. Amen. 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us Hey, did you see that? I want to say amen and hallelujah together. So, did you see? He said, who has reconciled? He didn't say who we reconcile. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us what? So, he has given us what? Who are the us there? Is it apostles, pastors, and apostles? No. He said, he has reconciled us and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, brothers and sisters, how many of you are called into ministry here? How many of you? Did you read that again? All of us are called into what? Ministry. You are a ministry person. Amen. You know, you can say it. Fortune Brown Ministry. Amen. That's what it means here. That is what we are talking about here. Fortune Brown Ministry. Joel Edwards Ministry. It's ministry. And what is the ministry? Ministry of God. So it's a, ha. So it's a, here? Ah, ministry. So because when they are looking at ministry, you know what was coming to people's mind? Jeep, suit, car, big, they say, ah, no, that's not my, ah, you know, on TV, or picture, like this, and lady missus will be like this, so that is what is running in your mind. No, ministry is ministry of reconciliation. He said he has given us, so in other words, when you believe Jesus and you receive Jesus, you received ministry together. You receive, and what ministry? Ministry of what? Reconciliation. Amen. When you believed Jesus, you received what? The ministry of reconciliation. You have ministry of reconciliation. Amen. David Joe, Abby. David Joe, what? Shasan Wokola, ministry. Ike Oluwa, what's his surname again? You may even desire where there Ike Oluwa ministry. You know something? It's ministry. Amen. I think I call your name, but I don't know your name. So call it out. Jessica, what? In ministry. So in other words, when you are living, when you leave the church and you are walking on the road, you are a ministry person walking. When you are going home, you are a ministry person. When you are in your class, you are a ministry person. When you are with your family, you are a ministry person. You are on a mission. You are a minister. And we looked at that during even the school of ministry. We're looking. Even the people that are doing the work of the ministry are even the saints. Amen. So if I say this to you, I say, well, Nife BME teaching ministry. Yes. Is Nife BME what? Teaching ministry. Because he has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Now you personalize it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Let's keep reading. Amen. He said, all things are of God. 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us what? To wit that God was in Christ. Now, what? Now, listen. What we talk about reconciliation? Ministry of reconciliation, it means that you want to tell people that they have been reconciled to God. That, hey, God is not angry with you any longer. Hey, you know, some people, there are a lot of people on the street in our classes as we play football everywhere. They think that God is angry with them. Oh, Israel. So many don't even know the love of God. So we are going to tell them that there's reconciliation has happened. Amen. So that's what we are going to be doing. Look at, let's keep reading. So verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling. So look at it now. So explaining the meaning of reconciliation is that to wit that God, can you read another, can you use another version so that we can better use, yeah, use another one. Good. Now look at it. It says, that is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting what? And has committed unto us what? So what is the ministry of reconciliation? It is in the message. Are you what I'm trying to say? So, but look at it. He said God was in Christ Jesus, not counting people's sin what? Do you have another version? No. Another version says, let me read a version here. 19. He said it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world in favor to himself, not counting up and holding against men what? Their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us what? The message of reconciliation and of restoration to favor. This is what God, he said, he is canceling them. You know, somebody said, well, hey, you see, if you do one like this, there's one angel, you write it. So if you do, they erase it. They write it again. Say, you, look, look, look what we have done. Look, that when you let's say you now come to church, you pay tithe or you give tithe or you do something, you give offering, and they say, oh wow, I raise it. Oh, good boy. Then again, you know, you're just going on some mistake, you know, maybe you're angry, you're so tired. Like, you know, my sister was saying, she's so, like, you know, she went through a lot for the past weeks. And it's at that time, if anybody shouts at her, she's going to cry. And somebody shouts at you, say, you are not correct. No, I will kill you. I will kill you. Yeah, I've done it. Then I wrote it down again. Amen. Illiterate. Scriptural illiterate. Look at it. Is that to wit that God was in Christ? What? What is he doing? What is it? Not imputing. God is not counting anybody's transgression against them. This has nothing to do with, thank God, God is not counting anything. So we just be doing anyhow. It's a sign that you don't even believe the gospel in the first place. If you are even saying, talking like that, you have to now be born again. I mean, you were never born again. I hear what I'm trying to say here. In the first place. Because being born again means that you have received the Holy Ghost in you. The Spirit of God is working in you. But God is not counting your sins against you. So what are we going to tell people on the street? People that have not received Jesus. Hey, do you know God has forgiven you? And he has canceled all your sins and iniquities. He's canceling them. He's canceling them out. Praise God. He's given us a message. Say, I've got a message. So what does this mean? Listen. It means that every believer. We're taking a progression in this. And I want you to follow. It means that every believer can preach the gospel. Amen. You know, for example, you know, it's on Sundays like this, that on Sundays, I come up and talk and teach and everything. All of us cannot hold mic on Sundays and begin to teach and talk. Well, there are some things I want to say. I will say it. I will mention it. But you have your Facebook, social media, or medias. You can always preach. Everybody should to preach the gospel. Everybody. Hallelujah. It is a commission for all believers. Jesus said, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say go and make convert. I told us before. Okay, let me say this. Listen up, everybody. Listen. Listen, everybody. Shen, Bomi. Are you with everybody? So we need to follow this. Okay? We must be careful. Listen, everybody. You must be careful not to, okay? Go beyond the word. Amen. You must be extremely careful not to go beyond the word. Stay within the boundaries of the word. Now, so this is it. So everyone. So Jesus said, look and listen. Jesus said, go and make what? Not converts. The work has never been go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. He said, teaching them to observe everything that I have told you. That's why this ministry work is an interesting one. I'm enjoying it. I've always been enjoying it. Amen. And I'm enjoying it. Why? Because seeing lives change, many coming to Christ, dropping their old ways of sin, and embracing the gospel, It excites me. It gives me joy. And that's me. But the Bible says even in heaven, even the angels rejoice more. But the bottom line is, when you meet people and you bring them to Christ, you are also responsible for doing what? You should be responsible for ensuring that they grow in the knowledge of God's word. It must be a responsibility. You must desire such. Are we together? You have to desire such. Either you introduce them to a cell, or you introduce them if you are on the airway or you're going somewhere and you don't, you know, you may not see the person again. Then it's also good to ask the person where you're going. Where are you going to? Oh, I'm going to this country. Oh, this country. Okay, I think there's a church here. I think I trust this church. Oh, can you visit this church? So, but you cannot just tell people where, go to any Bible-believing church you like. Don't tell people that. It is wrong. It's a sign. See, I used to tell people that, but I repented. I told us I once told somebody to go to a Bible believing church after leading her to Jesus. I said, because I know I was not going to see her. So I said, go to any Bible believing church. Then when I came back about 3 months after, and I met her, and I told her, hey, how has been church? How has been your walk in the Lord? How has been your walk of faith? Have you been praying? Have you been, have you been reading your Bible? What have you learned in the scriptures? What do you now know in the scripture? Because she has known that Jesus has forgiven her because she was a Satanist before. So she received Jesus. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. So now I thought, well, by now, she should have known at least certain things. She should have been developing. Then she told me, I'm sorry, I'm not a Christian. I mean, I left. You backslided? That's what she said. She said church was boring. And I said, which church did you go? He said, Jehovah's Witness. Amen. Now, but this is it. So when it gets there, when she gets there, hey, they said I should go to Bible believing church. Do you believe in Bible? Yes. They won't tell you they don't believe Bible. There's nowhere if you go to a mosque. Hallelujah. Say, well, do you believe in Bible? They say, oh, yeah, we believe in Bible. So it would show us a sign of irresponsibility on me, who had led her to Christ. And I was like, Jesus. And that day I repented. And I told her, I had to tell her, okay, where exactly do you live? I'm so sorry. Forgive me. It was my fault. I shouldn't have done that. This. Then I started discipling her again. Then I asked her, which church did she go to? And she told me she went. There's a Winner close to her house. I said, okay, good. I remember Winners have Wolfie. So when you go to Winners Chapel's Church, go there. Anybody you find, ask them. Ask them, do you have Wolfie? If they say they have Wolfie, tell them you're part of Wolfie. That you want to part. And let me know. Keep me posted. And that's how she started her walk of faith. And I learned from them. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? He doesn't say, well, go to any Bible believing church. No, you find if there is a one that you know their program. So, okay, it's like they have a solid discipleship program there. It's not just about going to church and because this is it. Are we together, everybody? Am I communicating to all of us? We have a ministry. All of us should preach the gospel. Every one of us should preach the gospel. But this is where I'm going. In preaching the gospel, we must not lose the development process in the church, even though you have the ministry. Are we together? You must not lose the development process in the church, even though you have the ministry of reconciliation. You cannot change the development process. By development process, okay, how do I begin this? Okay, let's do this. Let's do. Okay, I'm going to do one of my mistakes. Okay? I'm going to use it as an example. Let's look at 1 Timothy, praise God. Are you following everybody? Good. So, 1 Timothy, let's read chapter 1 Timothy chapter 3. So, 1 Timothy chapter 3. So, let's start from 15. From 14, he said, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly." So he's writing to Timothy. So he said, "I'm writing these things." So in other words, Paul is telling Timothy that, see, all the things I've written before now, okay, I'm writing them so that I will come to you shortly. Okay, let's keep reading it. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to what behave yourself where. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So look at it. The church, the house of God, okay, is the ground and the what? I repeat again. The church of God is the what? Ground and the pillar of truth. So what we are saying is this. The church, is the ground and the pillar of truth. So Paul is telling to Timothy that there is a way to behave. He said, you must know how to behave. He said, this is the reason why I'm writing these things to you. So that you will know how to behave. He's writing to somebody that has a ministry. But however, he's saying that there is a way you must behave. Let me even say this before we proceed to behaving part. You see, do you know sometimes, okay? Okay, one of it. Let me show you something. Look at verse. It was chapter 3 we're reading, yes? Okay, look at verse 6, for example. If you read from verse 1, he said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. Are you following? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire what? Now, jump to verse 6. He said, he must not what? Why? So if he's a novice, lest he be what? Lifted up with pride, or filled with pride, and enter into the condemnation of the devil. I will explain that. Listen up, everybody. Now, that is a mistake that personally for me, I have made even as I was, started pastoring. And sometimes we still make that mistake. But do you know what I do is this? Anytime I make such mistake, what I do is that I personally try my best to see if I can follow up on the novice that one has given responsibility to. But it's dangerous. Now, listen. The novice we are talking about here, is he a believer? Does this novice have the ministry of reconciliation? Good. Is this novice filled with the Holy Ghost? Can this novice speak in tongues? But it's possible for this novice to enter into the condemnation of the devil and enter into snare of the devil and be destroyed. So, in other words, is a novice means that he's a JJC, Johnny Just Come. What I'm trying to say is this. This person has not been properly developed. So there is a developing process that equips a believer to do the work of the ministry accurately. So if a man who has received Jesus refuses to go through the process and jumps, especially to a very higher, larger responsibility, what the Bible says is this. It said the person is susceptible to being lifted up with pride. What does it mean by pride? For example, that's what I'm saying. For example, when you give somebody who probably don't know one or two things, has not gone through process, and give them a leadership responsibility, they begin to feel, we have known enough. For them to have made me, amen, it must have mean. it must have mean that they saw the star quality, yes. And the Bible says, being lifted up with pride, it's dangerous. And most of the time, anytime, I'm always thinking, that's why most of the time when we're doing leadership exercise, I'm always thinking, because I'm always thinking, if you mistakenly put a novice or somebody that is inexperienced in a place, let me even tell you this, listen everybody, I'm going somewhere. In the days of the apostles, they don't pray to appoint leaders. I understand. I repeat again. They don't pray. They only pray if Amen. So let's say, for example, okay, let's look at this. Let's look at Act 1. I'm going somewhere. Are you following? Are you getting something? So what we're talking about is this, that we subject ourselves to what? Equipping. Say, I subject myself to equipping. You're praying. You're to prayer meetings, to discipleship. That's why, for example, some folks say, okay, you want to join choir? And the choir say, well, there's probation period. Or there is this period. It's not like, the probation period is not. I'm not talking about choir. I'm isolating choir, but I'm using choir as an example. Are you following what I'm trying to say? As with any other unit. Now, if you notice, any unit, any department, or any church, or any church, or any unit that does not have a process to develop and impact or to verify individual, they're always shaky. They are always very shaky. In fact, let me tell you something. Any organization in this world, if you are working in the bank, they always have 3 months exercise. Even those that are going to work in Georgia here, they say probation, 1 month probation. They say you must be there. If you are late for one day, you will not get the job next. You know why? Because there's a reason. Because if you are late so, for so many times during preparation period, there's high possibility that you'll be late forever. Are you guys trying to say? Let's say you now came in, as you came in, the boss said, let's say you are supposed to go through 1 month probation. And the boss look at you and say, wow, what a beautiful lady. A handsome boy. So you are supposed to go for 1 month. He said, because I have a crush on you. So he now takes you from after 1 week and makes you the general manager of that region. Very soon, the organization will be, they will be bankrupt. It's not by beauty. This is not. See, if you have a company, think about it. And we are not even. We are talking about company. Company, not to talk of kingdom, church work, responsibility, kingdom work. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say here? Yeah. Amen. And in the kingdom work, it's not even something that is tedious. It's just normal exercise, studying of the word and prayer. Studying of the word and what? It's as simple as that. Look at it. Act 1. Amen. 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, let's jump. Verse 16. Men and brethren, the scripture must be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered, speaking of Judas, was numbered with us and had obtained what? Part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquities, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels what gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, inasmuch as that. Let's jump. Verse 20. Are you 20? For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, listen, 21. Are you 21, everybody? He said, 21, say, wherefore, of these men, which had what? Have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Did you say something? Are you following everybody? Just follow. Sorry if you cannot. What I'm trying to look at. Now, he's saying that Peter stood up. He said, beginning from who? From John the Baptist. He said, we have to find a replacement. We have to find a replacement among us. The replacement must be such that the person must have been following us. They were not praying. It's not a prayer point. It's not a prayer point. Look at it. Next verse, I'm teaching you spiritual wisdom here. It will help you both in kingdom work and also if you are working in a corporate organization. Look here. Holy Spirit, help me. Where did I stop? So, all right, 22. 23, and they what? They appointed to Joseph called what? Who was son named Justus and Matthias. So we saw Joseph. So this is the qualification. Out of those who have seen diligent, in and out. So in other words, in and out means that when Jesus had 5,000, amen, and 4,000 left, and remain 1,000. These people, they were doing, when we were doing prayer meeting, these two were praying. When they were doing Bible study, they were there. When the company was about to fold up, the company will not fold up. When the company was bubbling, they're there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So out of the two, out of all these people, they picked who? So how many of these do they need? One, good. So now, that's where the challenge is now. So we have seen good, two quality people. So now they need one person to fill it. So that's where they will now pray. Are you guys friends? You cannot just say, who will be in charge? Who will be cell pastor, for example? Now, they say, out of 1,000, Father Lord, open our eyes. No, you see, it is not the way they did it in the Bible. It's not the way they did it. The way is so simple. We look at what Paul said. 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy. Amen. Are we together, everybody? So I'm going too far, but to be honest with you, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to teach us to learn how to be faithful and to be loyal. Especially loyal to the word. Loyal to the process. Stick to the word. The only thing you're looking at is Jesus and your development and your growth. That's all. You are loyal to the word and Jesus. And when you are doing that, the Bible says, that's what I said earlier. The Bible says, God resists the proud and gives grace to what? The humble. He gives grace to the humble. Enjoy the process. Enjoy it. God sees your heart. God knows the heart. You know, when they were doing the prayer, he said, they prayed, they said, for God who knows the heart. Is that not the prayer point they said? He said, for God who knows the heart of all men. So in other words, we have chosen to out of what we understand. But God knows the one that is eye service and the one that is not eye service. Are you following me here? But the thing is that you cannot neglect common sense. And say, well, the only thing we want to be doing here is spirit. See, you'll be doing spirit. You will just die. You'll kill yourself. There's nothing. Are you going to say, yeah? So what? That's why, for example, you see some different departments they have. Sometimes I tell people, I say, well, the choir, they should not make it too hard for people to join. But still, there's still decorum and still discipline. And still the same thing with prayer department, different department. The door to the church should be wide open and plenty. Anybody can come to the church. Gay, lesbian, everybody. You know, I'm a robber, I am a killer. Let them come. Let everybody just come. It's good. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Because when they come, they hear the word. And when they hear the word, they gradually, they are transformed. Now, but as people begin to progress, you know, though everybody, they are transformed, they receive ministry of reconciliation, but there must be a development process. There must be a development process. Some say, well, I have the calling of God. See, it is true you have the calling of God, but there's a way it happens. There's a way it operates. There are processes. And God knows the heart of men. Amen. You do have the calling of God. You do have it. But God knows the heart of men. Enjoy the process. Look your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, enjoy the process. Joanne, enjoy the process. I'm enjoying the round up now. Wonderful process. Okay, look at what did I say we should open earlier? I said 1 Timothy. Yes, as I was explaining something, I didn't want us to go somewhere before. Okay. Let's just go to Acts. Amen. Why did I forget that scripture? Okay, Act 13. Amen. Say, I yield myself to process. That's the way God makes it. That's where God makes us. The making of giants. The making of tools that God wants to use. Everyone generally is filled with the Holy Ghost. Everyone generally has the message of reconciliation. But when God wants to do something significant, it will take you to what? Process. That's how it happens. And you don't jump the process. Don't forget what I said earlier. I said this, that it is true that there may be the replacement, you know, concept in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we desire that everyone is, all hands are on deck. Look at Act 13. Act 13. Now they were in the church. Verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, blah, blah, blah. He says, and as they ministered unto the Lord, so they were, he said, they were certain. Where were they? In the church. And what were they doing in the church? They were certain prophets, they were teaching. So probably they were in the teaching ministry, disciple ministry, they were teaching there. It is where they were now ministering together there. That the Holy Spirit says, separate me, Paul, and what? Barnabas. Within the church. Now, look at this. Look at Act 6. Are you there? I said we should go to 1 Timothy. I remember now. 1 Timothy, put your hand in Act 6 and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, 2. Are you there? For they say Jesus is Lord. He said, and the things that thou hast heard of me, are you there? Among many witness, what do you do with it? We shall be able to teach what? So look at it. So how were they committing things? They were committing things to what? Faithful men. So is faithfulness required of us? Yes. Faithfulness to what? To the word, to prayer, to service, to accountability, to discipleship. Faithfulness. God requires faithfulness of us. Say this, we say, God requires faithfulness of me. Yes, it does. It does. We cannot just say, well, you know, anything goes. Anything does not go. We are not, but still, it's not going to be too burdensome. That process. And sometimes some of you are in the process and you're wondering, oh, when will my time be? When will my time come? See, don't worry. God knows your time. When the time, at the right time, God will exhort you. The Bible says he gives more grace to the humble. God gives more grace. How many of you want more grace? God gives what? More grace. Be faithful. He said at that day, Revelation says, we say, well done. My what? My faithful servant. How did they put in my what? My good and faithful servant. Faithfulness. The Bible says it is required in a steward to be found what? Faithful. All of us here are stewards. We are stewards. So say, well, you know, so say, everyone can talk to God. Yes. Everyone can talk to God. In your house, you can talk to God. And that is the concept of the New Testament. But there is a place, what we call the church, where God requires us to be faithful. Faithful to discipleship. Faithful to studying the word. Faithful to prayers. Amen. I can go on and on. But this is the stress and the high point of today's message. That you what? That we will find what? Faithful. That we be not be too high-minded. Which one? We must not jump the process. You must not be too high-minded. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So if this is what I'm saying. Remember 1 Peter 2? He said, as newborn babes, what? Desire the sincere milk of the word. I want to ask you, everybody listen up. A babe in Christ Jesus. Okay? Does he have the ministry of reconciliation? Does he have the Holy Ghost? Can a babe talk in tongues? Well, he's saying he should desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? So that you grow thereby. Amen. So you must deliberately subject yourself to growth. You have to understand you have a nature. So look at it. I'm talking to you here. If you give birth to a baby, the baby have mouth. The baby have eyes. The baby have leg. But the baby is not fully mature yet. So a baby cannot be assuming. Have you seen dramas in kids' school? When children are trying to act like daddies? You know, everybody laugh. You know why everybody's laughing? Because they are children. That's what happens when you have not gone through process and you are acting drama. I'm saying that's what happens. You should talk, but don't act drama. At best, after you finish the drama, you're still a baby. At best, are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Yeah. You're still a baby. So you subject, though you talk in tongues, you professor. Those prophecies are not this, all those gifts, that gift of the Spirit, they are not signs of growth and maturity. Signs of growth and maturity are fruits. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, long-suffering. So you're patient, you're waiting, calculating, you're diligent, consistent. I was telling somebody, I said, see, if you carry a baby, that's how you know. If you carry a baby to a cinema and the baby is hungry, the baby cries there. Does not mind what everybody is saying. You want to drink breast milk. But nobody's going. We all know this is a baby. Sometimes people just go out. They just tell the mom, take it out. But when the baby grows, if the baby is about, let's say, it grows to 5 years old, and you go to the cinema and he's hungry, he will tell mommy, I want to eat. Mommy, I want to eat. Now, 5 year old, mommy, I want to eat. We're watching. Let's finish. We still have 1 hour, 2 hours left. 2 hours, 2 hours. Yes. Please, yeah. We'll go after 2 hours. I want to eat. But this one will not make noise and shout. But when it grows to about 18 years old, mommy, I'm hungry. I want to go out and buy food. Go out and buy food. But everybody, nobody, everybody is still watching the cinema movie. But look at me as I am now. If I go with my dad to cinema and I'm hungry, I don't even tell him. I go out. In fact, no, I may not even. Some of us, you even delay your appetite. You wait. If it's going to be 3 hours, you wait. And that's one of the signs of maturity. You delay your appetite. You want something immediately, you delay it. You delay it. It's a sign of maturity. You learn to grow spiritually. Follow the process. It is true. You have it. Say, you don't know how much I have in my spirit. You see, we know how much you have in your spirit. We understand. We understand this thing. We know how much you have in your spirit. Wait for the process. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Wait. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, wait for the process. Hallelujah. It will do you good. Amen. It will do you good. At the end of the day, we will know that you are made indeed. See, let me say this. Let me tell you this and I'll round up with this. See, by God's grace, I want to thank God. I thank God and I'm still going through process and I will never graduate from process. Amen. I yield myself to God's growth. God will keep working on me. But let me tell you this. Eh? Let me tell you. I remember when I first started preaching. And even when I came to Georgia, yeah, when I started preaching, of course, I look tangy. You know, I look tiny. But I look tiny, but this is it. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. You see? Age and process is not the same thing. You see, there are some people that have gone through the process. They are going through the process. I'm saying that, okay, look at it. Listen up, everybody. This thing that I'm talking to you, the way I'm talking it to you, the authority to which I'm telling it, it's not because I'm reading Genesis verse 1 to 2. It came out of a process. I was not talking like this some years ago now. I think I'm trying to say, yeah. Oh, Kiche, me mo she me. I mean, it's not something that I, you know, that I'm trying to cook up. It's an experience, me. You learn it. Not just about experience, but you learn, you go through the process. Amen. 3 minutes charge. Go and do 3 minute charge. You are fasting and praying to give 3 minute charge. And after 3 minutes, they are reducing the mic. Are you understanding? Say, yeah. We are not even reducing the mic. They are telling you to go and start a cell somewhere. Nobody knows you there. And you are going there. We are going meeting people. People are saying, no, go away. People are trying to stone you. But you are staying there. And you are coming back result. I remember one time like this. We went to cast out demons from somebody. I recorded the video. And when we returned back, my senior pastor said, delete it. Oh, okay, sir. He said, delete it. I deleted it. He said, not show it anywhere again. I'm serious. We deleted it. Process me. So that later, why, sir? So that your mind will not be fixed on it. Fix your mind is fixed on Jesus. You have more to do. Hey, I'm trying to say, you have more, much more to do. Your eye is fixed on one something. Your eyes is fixed on madman getting healed. When there are lots of saints that need to be discipled and grow. Are you trying to say? I can't remember what I say. Yeah. Your eyes is not fixed on madman. Madman that just got healed. When there are many millions that are yet to receive Jesus. Hey, bad with me, you. Yeah. Stick to the process. Amen. You have the spirit. Say, I've got the spirit. I have the ministry of reconciliation. I'm blessed of God. The protocols are going to crucify me today. Oh, no. Father, we thank you for today. We bless your name. Father, I pray for your people. I ask that you will establish them in this truth. In the name of Jesus. That none of them will be aborted. They will not be premature. They will not experience premature birth. In the name of Jesus. That they will grow through the process. And at the right time, Lord. That there will be a great, massive announcement of your grace over their life. In the name of Jesus. Even right now, Lord, that they will continue to bear fruit. Even in their space, in their time, in whatever aspect that you are using them right now. That they will continue to bear fruit unto your glory. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.